أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه من سنة بسنته من الدين، أما بعد. Two weeks ago, before we finished on verse number 67 in Surah Yusuf, we were coming towards the end of the surah, finishing off the story that started. Just to recap and refresh our memory from last time, where we stopped where the brothers had come back from Egypt to their father Yaqub alayhis salam, and they were asking for their other brother, which is the blood brother in a way for Yusuf alayhis salam, which is Benjamin. And they said to their father that, you know, the king or the minister who is in Egypt, who gives the food, he has asked us to take this brother to him. He wants this brother of ours, and he has returned the food to us, so we'll get some more food, and the money, and we have extra money. I mean, the money is returned to us, we get extra food plus the food we already have, and plus we have one more. The father rejected. First of all, he said that I cannot trust you, just like I trusted you last time with Yusuf. But then he said that the only way I can let you have Benjamin go to Egypt all the way is if you take mawthiqum, meaning an oath. So they did take an oath. They took an oath with their father that we will definitely bring back Benjamin this time. And then one thing that we forgot to mention last time, that Yaqub al-Islam, as the scholars point out of tafsir, if you look throughout the Surah Yusuf, wherever the story goes to the discussion of Yaqub al-Islam, he always mentions a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like he says, Wallahu khairun hafidha, Wallahu ala ma naqulu wakil, Allah musta'an, meaning he always bring the word Allah in his jumla, in his sentence. The mufassirin, those who do tafsir of the Quran, they say this is showing the hikmah, wisdom of Yaqub al-Islam, and it is speaking volumes about his character, his personality. He was a very zakir, meaning very remembering slave of Allah. Yes, he was a prophet, but other than being a prophet, he's also showing us Muslims in this surah that remember Allah. And remembering Allah does not mean you sit down in a corner or after salah you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah. That is also a way of remembering Allah. But one of the ideal and best way to remember Allah is in your daily conversation with each other. Oh, when you say inshallah, mashallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. You know, you can always say that. Like you're talking to a friend of yours and he says, oh, you know what, I got a bonus today from my boss, from my manager. Oh, mashallah, subhanallah. I mean, you were talking regular thing, but you inserted in your regular talk Allah's name. Why? Why is saying that? This is showing the number one sabr of Yaqub al-Islam. It is showing his commitment to Allah and showing his love for Allah. Because when you love someone, you always mention them on your tongue. So if you love Allah, you will always mention Allah in your conversation. Like you must have heard many times I've said in the lectures here that there used to be a woman, Rabia Basriya, from the area of Basra, which is nowadays Kufa, Basra, Iraq. This Rabia Basriya, she was a wali Allah. She was a very close, pious woman and close friend of Allah, in the sense that she was very muttaqiya. It is mentioned about her, about Rabia Basriya, that for 40 years of her life, she did not speak anything except Qur'an, even in her daily life. If somebody would ask her, what is the name of your son, Rabia? Rabia will say that, she will not say, oh, my son's name is Yahya. No, she will recite an ayah of the Qur'an, where the hearing person will then deduce, try to understand what is the name. For example, her son's name was Yahya, so when somebody asked her, what is your son's name? She said, Ya Yahya, khud al-kitara biquwa. In Surah Maryam, there is an ayah where Allah tells us about Yahya alayhi salam, and Allah is saying to Yahya, Ya Yahya, khud al-kitab, meaning the book that Allah gave him, biquwa. So she would recite that ayah, and when she recited that ayah, the person who asked the question, khalas, he got his answer. What answer he got? That Rabia's son's name is Yahya. Something like that, they would ask her question, or they would talk to her, she would always respond with an ayah from the Quran. So what does that prove? Number one, she is a hafiz of Quran. She memorized the whole Quran from Surah Fatiha to Surah Nas. Number two, she is protecting her tongue. She is not saying anything except the Quran. But remember, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable every single thing we said from the tongue. even if I said something as little as one letter or harf, which is against Quran Sunnah, I will be held accountable by Allah. But when they come to Rabia Basri, when the angel will come, Malaika will come and say, Rabia Basri, let's see, what did you say from your tongue? 4 years, she said nothing but the Quran. So then, I mean, how are they going to catch her? I mean, how are they going to hold Rabia Basri accountable when she has everything in her book for 40 years, Quran, ayahs of Quran? So she's killing two birds with one stone. One, she's getting ajr for reciting the ayah, because remember, we recite, every time we recite one harf of Quran, 10 hasanat are written. So Rabia Basri is always talking Quran, and she's getting ajr. And number two, she is getting the ajr of saving her tongue from any sins, any problem. No curses, no ghibah, backbiting, no namima, no other things. So that is what we need you to mention here. We learn, I mean, in the story of Yusuf al-Islam, we learn about his father also, Yaqub al-Islam, that he was already dhakir. Allah subhanahu says in Surah Ahzab, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهُ وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. And those who remember Allah, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, those who remember Allah a lot, and those females who remember Allah a lot. عَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu has prepared a great reward, ajr for them, because they remember Allah. And remembering Allah, this way is the best, in the sense that you hear something, subhanallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, wallahi, and this and that. So, moving on forward, we see verse 67, Allah tells us, وَقَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحْلٍ وَادْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَ. Yaqub al-Islam is now giving advice, nasiha, to his sons. He's about to send them off to Egypt, to the king. He doesn't know, nor does the brother know, that the king or the minister right now, or the king, is his son, his lost son. He doesn't know that. So he's saying to him, look, my sons, when you enter over there to Egypt, لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ. Don't enter from one door. وَادْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَ. Enter from a lot of doors. Because why? There were 11 brothers. I mean, that's a big number. It's like a whole party. So imagine if 11 people coming from here. Right now, this brother entered. See that sister entered. So it's one separate. What was the philosophy behind this? What's the hikmah? Yaqub al-Islam wants to save his children, sons, from hasad, jealousy, and jealousy, and enmity, and hatred from others. Because if the people in Egypt saw 11 brothers coming one after another from one same door, they would become very jealous, envious for that. So Yaqub al-Islam is showing his wisdom that, look, my sons, enter from various doors so that you will be saved from any person's envy or jealousy. Plus, people will not become curious, who are these brothers coming one after another? Each one is entering from separate doors, nobody knows if they are brothers or not. I mean, if one enters this door, one from this, one is from, I can't tell as an audience that they're all brothers. So that's why Yaqub al-Islam is saying, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And I'm not trying to save you or myself from Allah from anything. I mean, he's already telling them, Yaqub al-Islam, that just because I told you to enter from separate doors does not mean I'm preserving you, I'm procuring you in from any fitna. No. If Allah has meant something to afflict you, it's gonna come. And he's talking about Qadr of Allah, yet he's saying the wisdom. Meaning he's saying we as insan, we try our best. But if Allah has meant for us to have something to come towards us, even if they enter from 11 separate doors, it will afflict them. So subhanAllah, Yaqub al-Islam is talking worldly skills, how to maneuver and manage and mobilize ourselves. At the same time, he's keeping the aqidah clean and straight. The look, don't be fooled that if you just enter from several doors, nothing gonna afflict you, nobody can harm you. No, if harm is qadr, if it's the qadr of Allah, it will come. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. He then tells, Yahamukullah. Yaqub al-Islam then says, why am I telling you my sons this? Because إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. The hukum, the authority, is only belonging to Allah. If Allah has decreed something, hukum, it will come. It will come to pass. Nobody in the whole world can stop it. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. See, again, now he said, إِنَ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. He's talking to his son, he's sending them off, further, he mentions Allah. That's what the Mufassirin said. That one of the major things we learn in Surah Yusuf about his father, Yaqub al-Islam, wherever he talks to his sons, he mentions the name of Allah, one way or another. Not just by subhanallah, mashallah, akbar, but also like this, in al-hukmu illa lillah. I mean, he's saying, go enter from several doors, don't enter from one door, and then he inserts one sentence or phrase in it where Allah is mentioned. In al-hukmu illa lillah. عليه توكلت وعليه فليتوكل المتوكلون. Upon Allah I depend and rely on, and upon Him also rely depend all the متوكلون. متوكلون is that درجة of a Muslim where he or she has blind trust in Allah SWT. It's very hard to develop in yourself blind trust in Allah SWT. Why? Because whispers of shaitan comes. At times you do things, you do your best, and then you leave it on Allah. But then a whisper comes, oh, maybe it will not go through. Or maybe it will backfire. Or maybe, where is it coming from? Shaitan. But the one who has blind trust in Allah's mother does not even get this whisper, maybe. This shows the strong conviction. And even if it, shaitan did try to swerve them by putting a maybe thought in there, what will they say? I mean, what will the person who's mutawakkil, what will he or she say then? Do you know? What's the remedy for that? When waswasa comes in our brain, what's the first thing you're supposed to do? A'udhu billahi shabaji. Wa imma yanzaghannaka min ash-shaytani nazghun fasta'iz billah. Allah says in the Quran, and if you are afflicted with shaitan's nazgh, meaning shaitan's whisper, fasta'iz billah, seek refuge in Allah. Which is, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا مِنْ مُثِي أَمَرَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ. And then Allah tells us, when they entered from where their father ordered them, مَا كَانَ يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا حَاجَةَ فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَضَاهَا. Allah is saying they could not have stopped from anything except what Allah has meant and Allah what He gave inspiration to Yaqub what is now for His children. وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah is saying about the benefit and the praise of Yaqub al-Islam that he is Zu'im, he is a man of knowledge, he has not just knowledge, but that knowledge gives him wisdom. And what Allah is saying that لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ, it's what we, meaning Allah, has taught Yaqub al-Islam. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But majority of people do not know this. What is Allah saying in this ayah? He's saying many people are very knowledgeable, and they have, from their knowledge they implement it. When they implement it, they acquire wisdom. Because people say be wise, but being wise cannot be acquired as a commodity. You can't just go pay $10, give me some wisdom. Wisdom only comes through knowledge. The first step for acquiring wisdom is acquiring knowledge. That's just the first step. Second step is the knowledge that you have acquired, you now have to implement it. When you implement that knowledge, that is as a result of that implementation, Allah pours wisdom. Why I say poor? Because who is the most alim upon the creations of this earth? From the time Adam and Islam was created. It's not a prophet of Allah. Who's the biggest alim? Think about it. It's a pop quiz. If you can answer it, I have a prize in my car for you. Who? Yes! See me after the thing, after Maghrib, Ajay. Shaitan! Okay? You know, a nice water cooler for you as a gift. No, I'm not saying it's a water cooler, it might be something else. Yes, Shaitan. Because Rasulullah said, if knowledge was some standard to bear or measure, Shaitan is the biggest alim. Why? Because Shaitan comes to the people, every normal people, and Shaitan comes to the scholars, to make them waswasa, and Shaitan comes against the Anbiya. Shaitan comes to the Prophets of Allah, against them, trying to make difficulty on them. And why? Because Shaitan's goal is to disrupt this Ummah, or any Ummah of any Prophet. So Shaitan, it's not to say that Shaitan is bigger than any of the Prophets, no. But Shaitan has more knowledge because it would try to maneuver and attack the Prophets of Allah from different ways. Trying to make in them shukuk, or trying to thwart them, repel them from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, big change today. So the sun came out from a different side today. That's why it was raining very high, because we are missing the snow. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in this ayah, you want wisdom, get knowledge. But don't just stop at it, because there are so many people in this world who are scholars. But are they really truly scholars? No. Because they have the knowledge, they have the PhDs, they have the heifers and everything. They may be half of the Quran. But when you look at their actions, you look at their personality, their character, you look at their following, how much sunnah they follow, Nothing. So then you get perplexed. Hey, this person is in Ireland. They study in such and such institution. They acquired something. But look at their action. It speaks 180 degrees opposite of the knowledge that they acquired. And that is why the implementation is not there. And that is why one of the hadiths, Rasulullah gave a strong warning that on the Day of Judgment, three people will be called and said, you will be going definitely to hellfire. Who are those three people? Number one, men of Ireland, who earned knowledge for nefarious desires, for not the right intention and purposes, and then used that knowledge just to get the accolades and the praises and this and that, never practiced on it. Told others to practice but never practiced themselves. First one, Allah said, look, all your ink, all your knowledge that was in the brain, you and the brain together. Second person, Mujahid, who used to fight in the way of Allah and then gave his blood and his life in the way of Allah. Allah is going to say, you and your blood all together in the hellfire. Because you didn't fight for me, Allah, you fought so that people and your name could be there on the wall in plaques, in rewards, and the people can always mention, oh, my son or my cousin, my nephew was the greatest Mujahid. Look, he gave his blood. And the third person we brought is one who gave money, Allah. He and all his money in the hellfire. Look, each one of them have given something in the path of Allah. The guy with money, gave money. So Allah said, you and your money both over there. The guy with life, body, blood, Allah will say, you and your blood and your body both in hellfire. The guy with knowledge, he gave his knowledge to people. But he never practiced himself. Allah is going to say, all your knowledge and your body in the hellfire. Although from society's point of view, these three are the best elite class. People always remember them till the Day of Judgment. But on the Day of Judgment, people will say, wow, these people are going in hellfire, the first. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hinting and like hitting with a hammer on the head. But look, knowledge is not just for acquiring. Knowledge is to acquire wisdom. And what is wisdom? Like Imam Shafi was asked, Imam Shafi rahimahullah was asked, what is wisdom? He said, Al-Hikmah, wisdom is the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. If you have wisdom, you will find yourself implementing the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. If you don't have wisdom, you will find yourself not practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah. Meaning, how much you practice the sunnah of Rasulullah is how much wisdom you have. If you practice 10, you have 10 wisdom. If you practice 1,000,000, 100, 1,000, that's the measurement. They are directly proportional to each other. We studied in math and physics and chemistry that there are things that are directly proportional and inversely proportional. In directly proportional, you increase one, the other increases automatically. You want to increase your knowledge? You want to increase your wisdom? You don't have to go outside in the bazaar and buy it somewhere. Just increase your knowledge. So you go to places where you acquire knowledge, either through books, through courses, through institution, through sheikhs, or through imams, sitting, learning, acquiring, and then implementing and getting mentored by them. The next ayah that Allah tells us, moving on forward with the story, what happened, they entered, وَلَمَّا دَخُلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفُ أَوَىٰ إِلَيْهِ أَخَاهُ قَالَ إِنِّي أَنَا أَخُوكُ فَلَا تَبْتَعِثْ بِمَكَانِ يَعْمَلُونَ. They came to Yusuf al-Islam and they came to him. قَالَ إِنِّي أَنَا أَخُوكُ. Now he is opening, declaring who he is. Remember last time when they entered, we talked about it, they entered, he knew them, but they didn't know him. So this time, now that they have brought the brother, he wants to tell them. He wants to let them know that, look, I'm your brother, Yusuf, the one you got rid of, supposedly, long time ago. Why is he telling him now? Why didn't he tell him back then? Because if he told them back then, they would not bring Binyamin. Wisdom, hikmah. But now he's telling them because now they have it in front of him, and they want to let them know. So, do not be disheartened of what they are doing. فَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجِهَازٍ جَعَلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. I mean, look at the wisdom of Yusuf al-Islam. Tremendous. I mean, mind-boggling. His strategy, his skills. I mean, I know we've been doing this so many Thursdays, and some of us might be feeling we're taking too long. But this surah and this person, this prophet, Yusuf al-Islam, is full of gems of wisdom, gems of hindsight and farsightedness. If we just take certain aspects of him and sit for months, it will never finish. But I'm trying to curtail and not rush, but trying to curtail and cut down and only keep it to a minimum what is applicable to us. Today, everybody is searching, soul searching for wisdom. Everybody says, I need to build skills. I need to build caliber in myself. I need to build aspects where I can fight problems, life problems, career problems, financial problems, domestic problems. I need to have the expertise, the background, the depth in my character to be able to face difficulties and accidents and sporadic events that may happen. All of that is from Yusuf alayhi salam's wisdom. Look at the wisdom. As soon as they come in from several different doors and they come to his palace, first thing he tells them, I'm your brother, Yusuf. And then he tells them, and then when they gathered themselves, فَلَمَّا جَهَزْنَا بِجَهَزٍ جَعْلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِي ثُمَّ أَزَّنَ مُؤَزِّنٌ أَيَّتُ الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ سَارِقُونَ. When they brought their stuff, they got their stuff. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quickly passes on the information, doesn't give the details. Back then he gave details. Now he's saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they came, the brothers came, they bought the money. And he said, look, the brothers are smart. They didn't say, oh, you are a good man, you returned the money to us. They just said, hey, this is the money, give us some more food. So he gave the food. And then they started going back. That's what Allah is saying. فَلَمَّا جَهَزُمْ جَعَلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ. What did Yusuf al-Islam do? Mastermind. He took the siqaya. Siqaya means like the royal cup, the royal mug. You know, like the king has his own mug. It's like very precious. It has gems embedded on it. And it's something very precious. If somebody steals that, they are liable for punishment, even up to capital punishment. So what Yusuf al-Islam did, he used his advisor. He said, look, put this royal cup, the big precious cup, into the bag of my brother Binyamin. Not the other brothers, those who tried to get rid of him, but the brother that he got. Why? Because Yusuf cannot say to his brothers, leave Binyamin with me. Fine, I asked you to bring your brother, and the reason I asked you was, look, you bring him, you get food. They got the food, now he has nothing to ask his brothers to leave him. So he has to devise, plan something. And this is what we call the smartness, not shrewdness, the smartness of a person. How to trap others without breaking the law. And if you really want to learn from Yusuf al-Islam over here, you don't want to break the law, and at the same time, you want to get your work done. Because sometimes what people do is they break the law. They will lie. They will bluff. They will cheat. They will deceive. Because they say, it's my right. It's my right to do it. That person is violent. That person is oppressive. It's my right to do this, to get from him or her, whatever the thing. Many people justify. Yusuf al-Islam is not justifying anything. He's just devising up a plan to get his blood brother Binyamin saved here with him and let the other brothers go back to Yaqub. But he also knows that his brothers had taken an oath from Yaqub al-Islam. So there's no way they're going to leave his brother. If he said to his brother, please, you know, I love you, thank you very much, can you leave my brother Binyamin? They'll say, no, we have an oath with our father. And our father's not going to believe us, because last time we played game with you, Yusuf, so he got angry so much, this time he's going to kill us. He knows this all. So he made up with a master plan. He said, look, the only way I can get my brother, if I put this mug in the bag, and then I say, hey, you guys, wait, you are thieves, you stole something. And that's what it meant. فَأَزَّنَ مُعَزِّنٌ. Mu'azzin here means the announcer. The announcer announced, أَيُّهَةَ الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. Oh people, you caravan, you guys are sariqun, stealers. Oh, big accusation. Of course, they're not stealers. But this was the way to stop them, because they were about to leave, depart, and he would have lost his brother for the rest of his life. قَالُوا وَأَقْبَلُوا عَلِيمٌ مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ. They came back, they didn't accept the accusation. Because if they had accepted the accusation, they would have said, مَاذَا تُسْرِقُونَ. What have you, what have we stolen? مَاذَا فَرِقْنَا. What did we steal? No. They came back to the announcer, the royal announcer of the palace, saying to them, what have you lost? The announcer said, oh, you caravan, come back, you are stealers, thieves, you stole something. They didn't accept that. And how are we getting to know all of this? From the wisdom of the Qur'an. From the way the ayats are together, and from the way the words are used in that. This is where the knowledge of Arabic language helps us tremendously. We are supposed to learn Arabic because it helps us to understand more. They came back, they rejected the accusation, they said, no, what did you lose? It's not us who stole it, it's you guys that you lost something, perhaps by mistake it came into our caravan. Because when you pack up your bags, maybe it happened. قَالُوا نَفْقِدُ السُّوَاعِ الْمَلِكِ. We have lost the royal cup of the king. That's a big thing. سُوَاعِ الْمَلِكِ. وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ حِمْلُ بَعِيرٍ وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٍ. He said, we have lost the cup of the king, and whoever brings it will get another bag full of wheat, rice, or whatever the food. Incentive for the caravan, for the brothers of useless land, that they cough up. Somebody has to cough up and say, oh yeah, I have it. Here it is. Now give me mine. Because he knows them from day one that they're greedy. What's the biggest lesson we learn from the brothers of Yusuf from day one, from the beginning of the surah? They're greedy. The reason of their greed, they wanted to get rid of their brother Yusuf right from the day one. And why they want to get rid of him? Because they saw that their father Yaqub was showering so much mercy and so much money and everything to him. So he said, let's get rid of him. We'll get all this money and benefit and barakah. So he knows that, in other words, the scholars say here, when you want to be smart and get your opponent to extract something out of them, you have to know what is their weakness. Yusuf Islam knows very clearly the weakness of his brothers. Greed, money, food. He comes up saying, look, if you hand me that cup, or you hand me the person who stole the cup, they're saying you didn't steal, you lost it. He's saying you stole, so he's saying whoever hands me the person who stole the cup, that person will get a whole big bag of the food, the ration that was there. Well, I'm a bin Zaim, and I will be their protector, or I'll be their leader, in the sense that I will not punish them. I'll make sure that person who speaks up, or like, because people, when they become very cautious. When it is announced, oh, something is lost, we have to check bags, to become cautious. Even if somebody knows, they don't want to speak up. We see that, we deal with every day in Ghazali, with our kids, that if somebody happens, somebody stole somebody's calculator, we put the whole class in a room, we say, okay, somebody's got a cuff up, and whoever tells it will get this much incentive. We use the philosophy of Surah Yusuf, because we tried many times saying, whoever tells it, they will be confidential, they won't be asked, nobody speaks up. They're like old brothers. They say, no, nobody wants to be a rat. So the best way to find out, use philosophy of Yusuf Islam. We'll give you incentive. 100 points on your next test. Wow, you see minutes, everybody starts speaking up. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's a rat. You know, moments ago, nobody wanted to be a rat, yes? They parked it in the front?
Black Saturn.
Black Saturn?
Yeah.
Anybody here have a Black Saturn?
Lights are on. The lights are on because...
Black Saturn? Okay, we got. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. So, he says to him that, look, you'll get this. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. Again, the brothers are trying to defend their character, defend themselves. Because they want to show in Egypt that we are not thieves, we're not stealers. Yeah, I mean, remember the brothers are accusing and everything, but they say, تَاللَّهِ. Allah is like a swearing. I swear by Allah. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You know very well that we did not come here to Egypt from Madian, from the place of our father Yaqub. We didn't come here to create mischief and chaos, because, in other words, they're accepting stealing is a mischief, fasad al-arq. So whenever you hear of robbery, of mugging and all that, it's a mischief. I mean, somebody's getting hurt. And they say, we didn't come here to create mischief. No, are we thieves, stealers? قَالُوا فَمَا جَزَاءُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. So Yusuf al-Islam say, what should be the reward or return? What should be the return of that person who is a liar? If you guys say that we don't steal, we don't have anything, but we'll take talashi, we'll take investigation, we'll do a search and of every bag and everything. If we find someone, I mean, if you guys say we didn't steal, okay, suppose we find nothing, then you're free to go. But if we find someone that is stealing and we thought the thing that they stole, what should be the return? He's asking them question. قَالُوا جَزَاءُ مَنْ وُجِدَ فِي رَحْلِهِ فَهُوَ جَزَاءُهُ. Why did Yusuf Islam propose to them that you guys suggest the punishment or return for the person? Because the scholars say here, Yusuf Islam is a sitting king, he's a sitting person on a seat, on an arsh, and he is sitting on the throne of Egypt. In the qanun of Egypt, in the law of Egypt at that time was, if you found someone stealing and you found that person red-handed, you caught them, they should be killed. Now, if Yusuf al-Islam, sitting king, was to rule hukum, he was the one who planted in the first place. So if he does the ruling according to the king's rule, qanun, it's like saying, you want to go by the American law, or you want to go by the Quranic law in this country. The judge gives you offer. You say, no, I want the Quranic laws. Because you know the Quranic law will help you to your advantage. But if you know that the American law, because our brothers and sisters in Islam in America do this. When they know that the American law will protect them and help them, no, we don't want Quranic law. We want American law. America has judges. I mean, I speak in America, the judges, they say, I'm amazed how some of your people from your community, they come to the courts and they say, we want American law, justice. You know what? I mean, I try to offer them your law, but they shy away from it. Is there something to it? And I told the judge once that I saw him, I said, look, there is a verse, an ayah in the Quran about these kind of people. That those laws that is adhering to them, that is affectionate to them, that is easy for them, they take it. Those laws that is difficult for them, they take an alibi. So the reason they choose the American law, at that junction of that, they're trying to tell the judge, I want an easy way out. Same thing here. Yusuf al-Sar is not trying to choose an easy way out, but Yusuf al-Sar wants to save the life of his brother. Because he knows that his brother has the thing. And once they do the investigation, it will come out, then he will be wajibul qatl. The brother will be doomed to be dead. Because the law of Egypt, law of that king of Egypt who Yusuf al-Sar inherited, says that. But Yusuf al-Sar is also a prophet and a son of Yaqub al-Islam. In the deen of Yaqub al-Islam, in the Sharia, because he's a prophet, every prophet has a Sharia. So in the Sharia of Yaqub and Yusuf al-Islam, the return or the thing was that if you found someone who stole something from you, that person will become your slave. See the thing? This is called chalaki, not chaplosi chalaki. This is called smartness, not shrewdness. Being a shrewd person means you want to hurt someone. But being a smart person means you don't want to hurt the other person and you don't want to hurt yourself. It's like a win-win situation. But people who are shrewd in business, who are shrewd in dealings, lawyers or businessmen or something, they're shrewd. Why? Because they're greedy. They're selfish. They want to have their benefit, not the other person. Yusuf al-Islam knows everything. He knows the law of Egypt. He knows the law of his Sharia and his father. And he also knows that his brothers know the law of his father, Yaqub. So that's why he proposed to them. He said, oh my brothers, you suggest, what should be the jaza, what should be the return, the punishment of the person whom we caught red-handed, that he stole? But he knew that the brothers said, oh, if you found any one of us who stole it, khalas, he is yours, meaning he is your slave. And that's exactly that is music to the ears of Yusuf al-Islam. I'm using an American slogan, American terminology. They say, oh, this is music to my ear. Because if it's not music to your ear, you don't want to listen to it. That tells you if music is halal or haram. Whatever, that music is halal, which is good for you. The music that you don't like to hear is not music for you. So, oh, this one is haram. Don't listen to this. Like people, if they hate rap, they say, oh, listening to rap is haram, haram. But listening to Jennifer Aniston or Britney Spears or any of the Meryl Crow, it's fine. There's nothing wrong. Why? Because they hate rap, but they like this kind of music. And that is what exactly is going on here. And he says to him, Subhanallah, قَالُوا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أُوْلِيَ فِي رَحْلِهِ فَهُوَ جَزَاءُ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الظَّالِمِينَ فَبَدَى بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفَ. خلاص. He told his policeman, or he told his bodyguard, take your investigation. Check every bag. They checked the first one, second one. Everyone, they came to Binyamin. Oh, we found this. Mr. King, we found the cup in this bag. This guy. Okay, then you use this. Oh, Binyamin. All right, come here. Now look what Allah wants to say. مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفْ. كَادَ يَكِيدُ, we learned this in Arabic language, also in grammar. كَادَ يَكِيدُ means to plot and plan. The literal meaning of this means to plot and plan, devise, strategy, such that would help you, benefit you. So Allah Himself is saying that all this scenery that you're seeing, all this event that you're seeing unfold in front of you, is not Yusuf doing from his wish and will and desire. Meaning Allah in this area is telling us Muslimin and anyone who reads Quran that look, don't tarnish the image of Yusuf al-Islam. Don't accuse him that he's a shrewd man or he's very chalak, chaplos and all that. No. Don't accuse him. He is clean from any accusation. We, Allah, inspired Yusuf al-Islam. Why? Because it couldn't be possible. If this world was not in this era, people would say, oh, look at Yusuf al-Islam. How smart he is. How shrewd he is. Look at him. His brothers tried to get rid of him, but he got back at them. He's even with them. He took his revenge because he tried to plant the crop and get them all, alhamdulillah, and then he tried to do it. No, Allah is saying, كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لَيُوسُفَ. This is how we all devise and strategize and plan for Yusuf, and then we inspired Yusuf, meaning Yusuf al-Islam, being a prophet of Allah, was inspired through wahi by Allah to do all this. Allah is saying, I, Allah, devised this master plan. Don't accuse my prophet Yusuf. Because you could have some non-Muslim, some atheist, some Buddhist come and read Quran and say, hey, they talk about Prophet Joseph. Prophet Joseph was very bad. Why? Oh, he tried to mock a robbery or stealing. He didn't steal. Binyamin didn't steal, right? Basically from the Quran we learn, Binyamin never stole. Yusuf al-Islam implanted. He tried to mock the whole thief, I mean the whole robbery, stealing, just to get his brother. So anybody who came today in 2006 or in other future year until Qiyamah, read this ayah, they'll get a waswasa, shaitan. Shaitan will put waswasa, hey, Prophet Joseph was slightly bad. Why? Because he mocked a fake stealing just to get his brother back. No. Allah cleaned his prophet from day one by saying, كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لَيُوسُفْ. This is how we plan for Yusuf. This is how we profit for Yusuf. Why? Allah says the next word, مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ. It was never ever possible for Yusuf to take his brother Binyamin أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ, in the religion of Malik. Why? Deen of Malik here means in the Sharia of Malik, in the Qanun of Malik, in the law of Malik. The law of Malik, the law of the king who inherited Yusuf al-Islam, was that you should kill the person who stole. So Allah is saying, the reason we went through all of this, to save Yusuf and his brother Binyamin. Otherwise Binyamin would have been killed and Yusuf would have been left alone. So what is the message of this part? What is Allah telling us? Because the ayah before this, where we finished off, was Mutawakkilun. Allah yuhibbul mutawakkilin. Allah loves those who depend and rely on Allah. Just moments ago, didn't I tell you all right now that Allah loves those who blindly trust on Allah, blindly rely on Allah? Why? Because then Allah brings a master plan from heavens to save them, to have their ideology, to have their desires fulfilled. The desire of Yusuf was, I wish my brother comes and stays with me. But how will it happen? How will he come from Egypt, from Madian to Egypt, and how will the brothers leave him in August? Meaning he's thinking. But Allah is saying, hey, don't worry about it. As long as you are mutawakkil, as long as you rely and depend on me and blindly trust on me, leave it on me. I will make things happen. How does this translate to our current day philosophy, psychology? In 2006, you rely on Allah, you depend on Allah. Allah will make from ghayb, from unseen, things happen. I give you an example, it's not going to get long, but just to give you an example, would fix exactly over here. A cousin of mine lives in Minnesota. He had a problem with his manager. She was a lady. And this is right after 9/11. Because they hated Muslims, because they, you know, whatever happened, what have you. She began to falsely accuse this cousin of mine, who's working in a very nice position. And before 9/11, he'd been working in that company for 4 years. Nothing wrong. He has the best report, bonuses, raise, everything. Suddenly 9/11 happens. This boss is a redneck American white woman. She just doesn't, she has a grudge against. So she starts making false accusations, false reports, disinformation reports, false reports in his file, filling up the file, just false. And he used to call and tell her, say, look, be patient like Yusuf al-Islam. Allah will exonerate you. Allah will relieve you. Because if you try to retaliate, try to take revenge, then Allah is going to say, hey, you've taken revenge in the dunya, why should I give you? But if you remain calm and patient and keep your composure resolved, you will see Allah will make you successful one day. And Allah will make a plan come in your company such a way where you will be relieved and she will be the culprit. SubhanAllah. It took 2 years of patience. Finally what happened? She was fired and he was raised into that position. He got the position of that lady that was trying to get rid of him. The reason she was making all this fake, to get rid of this guy, getting fired. But he remained patient. I told them, read this part of Surah Yusuf. Read the verses from 67 to 74. Keep reading again and again. You'll see how Allah saved Yusuf al-Islam. Why? Because Yusuf al-Islam was patient, but he loved his brother from his bottom heart. He wanted Binyamin back. So Allah made a whole plan, a whole fake stealing, robbery, just to get Binyamin with Yusuf. That's what Allah is saying. كَذَٰلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفْ مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَوْهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. He could not have taken Binyamin according to the Sharia law of the king of Egypt, except if Allah willed. And yes, Allah willed it for him. How Allah willed, he devised his whole plan. And subhanAllah, I don't have time to go in detail, but that brother, he told me, my cousin, he told me how the whole thing, fiasco, unfolded, and she was like ridiculed, insulted. Every person in the company was saying, shame on you, shame on you. Since especially it was so close to 9/11, they say, just because of personal grudge, you should be ashamed to be called an American to do such a thing. And finally she was thrown out of the whole company. Amazing. Because Allah made the whole turn of events happen in such a way. And he himself says, I am just mind boggled, I'm puzzled, perplexed. How I remain patient, and out of nowhere things began to unfold one after another, and she was like being strangulated, that she had to resign and confess, yes, I did this because of this. Just like the confession of that king's wife, remember? That Zulaikha, she said, yeah, I was the one who tried to seduce Yusuf. She had to cover up, she had to confess. So Allah is teaching us a big lesson here, that look, in time of hardship, in time of difficulty, you remain steadfast, firm, composed, resolved, and make sure that you don't seek revenge, retaliation. I always say this to brothers and sisters. Even if you have the haq, even if you have the right to seek revenge, retaliation, because this country is full of this philosophy. Anything you have there, lawsuit, litigation. I want damages, I've been mentally tortured, I've been physically this and this. If you want to file a lawsuit, by all means, yeah, but what are you doing? You are not getting the grand lawsuit, the lawsuit from Allah. Because when Allah files a lawsuit against someone for the harm done to Allah's slave, then that lawsuit brings you not just millions of dollars, brings you eternal paradise in dunya and akhirah. So this is the major lesson we learn from Yusuf. Yusuf al-Islam did not seek revenge from his brothers. He did not retaliate his brothers. He just relied on Allah. Allah got him back everything he wanted. Allah got him his brother back, his father back. Allah got his brothers to be ashamed. They made sujudin, as we will see towards the end. Meaning, if we just leave everything on Allah, meaning somebody hurt you, somebody harmed you, somebody irritated you, you just say, Allah, please give me the best return. That's all you have to say. All you have to say, Allah, I am patient on this. I've been hurt. I've been devastated. I've been destroyed. But Allah, I'm not going to seek revenge. I'm not going to seek retaliation. I'm living this. أَتْرَقُ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ عَلَيْكَ يَا اللَّهُ وَإِنِّي أَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْكَ. If you just say these words in Arabic or in English or Urdu, then, oh Allah, إِنِّي أَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي أَتْرَقُ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ عَلَيْكَ. Oh Allah, أَتْرَقُ مِنِ الْعَلِيفِ. أَتْرَقُ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ. Oh Allah, I leave this issue, this affair, meaning this dispute between me and this person, upon you, O Allah. وَأَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْهِ. And Allah, I depend on you. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. And you are the best for those who depend on you. Meaning you will bring the best reward, I mean the best return. Don't you agree that Allah will bring you back the best return, the best revenge, better than what you could have seen? And that's what I always say to my Muslim brothers and sisters, before they go towards litigation and lawsuit, what's the maximum you're going to get? And look at these lawyers, attorneys, money greedy, jaws dropping down with full of water coming out. Wow, I can get you 10 million on this, but 5 million is from me. You say, I don't mind, I'm getting 5 million. But do you know what you're doing? You're filling the belly of someone else wrongfully. Why don't you get the whole 10 million? How? From Allah. And this one lesson I've learned always from my mother. I don't mean to praise her over here, but from day one, as I was a child holding her finger, I always saw people abusing my mom, people irritating my mom, people oppressing her. Any kind of relationship, whether it's at work, at home, you know, in-laws, whatever. And I always used to ask her, why do you take all this? If I were you, I would never take this. I'll get back at them. But my mother always gave a lesson. She said, look, whatever anybody does to me, I leave it on Allah. Because I know he's going to get back at them. I don't need to worry. I'm like in cruise control, autopilot. If Allah is behind me, he's going to get the best return. More than what I can get. What is the most I can get? If I want to retaliate, I might give them a slap, might talk to them, might get back some money or something. But if I leave it on Allah, he will get back. He will literally, not to say in a bad way, he literally ruined their life miserable because they irritated a slave of Allah. And believe you me, till this day, till 2006, I see anyone who hurts my mother, they don't rest peacefully. Their life becomes miserable. And I'm amazed, shocked that they do get miserable, but they come back and hurt again to her. I'm amazed. Don't you learn a lesson the first time? You messed up with her. You messed up with her. Allah ruined your life. You got really heck of a time. You come back and still oppress her, still really, or do something. As if they like to be messed up or something. Or I don't know, but my mother is always the winner in the long run. This lesson, when I read with Surah Yusuf, it clicked. After that, I stopped asking her why you don't get back. Once I learned the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, everything in our college days and everything, from that day onwards, I stopped asking her because I got my answer. Maybe she could not have explained to me the best of the way as a mother, but once I learned the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, I saw why Yusuf Islam never sought revenge, retaliation from his brother, because Allah brought his brothers in the foot, sujood of his father. And that's exactly what happens. When you don't seek revenge from the people who have oppressed you, wronged you, Allah Ta'ala unko aapke qadmon mein laake gira deta. Meaning Allah brings their heads in your footsteps. I've seen with my own eyes people crying, making literally wanting to make sujood in front of my father's mother's feet. But of course sujood is not halal. But I see that and I say, I get amazed. Look how Allah brings the best way. What is Allah teaching us here? Allah is teaching us, don't become greedy and selfish and try to hurry and rush to seek revenge. Somebody wrongs you, take a deep breath and say, Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Do zikr of Allah. That's what Yaqub and Yusuf al-Islam did over here. When you do zikr of Allah, it calms your nafs down. And it gives a push to the shaitan who's trying to fill up your brain. Hey, you have a right. Seek revenge, seek retaliation. Come on, call that lawyer. Litigation. Check out how many similar cases got money in the past. That's what shaitan fills your brain. But you take a deep breath and relax, you say no. Shaitan, go away. A'udhu billahi shaitan rajim. أتوكل الله وإني أترك لله الأمر ولله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد. Allah said that in the Quran very clearly. ولله الأمر من قبل وبعد. For Allah belongs all the affairs from before and after. Meaning before your problem, before your difficulty, before your calamity, before that person wronged you, hurt you, the amr was for Allah. ومن بعد. Even after that, the amr is for Allah. So if you find peace and tranquility in the amr of Allah, Allah will bring you the best return. And that's what Allah shows us over here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the ayah by saying, نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. We raise the darajat. Meaning if you make sabr and you leave it to Allah, Allah will not only bring back the return from those enemies of you who did hurt you, but Allah raises your maqam. Your darajat goes up and up, bulund, upwards. Because you did sabr. You left the issue. You did not seek retaliation. You did not seek revenge. And the person who comes down, they feel ashamed. They say, sorry. They say that I'm puzzled. I did wrong to you, but you didn't seek revenge. And now I'm ashamed of my personality, of myself. Please tell me how I can help you. How I can do return for the wrong that I did to you. This is the best winning, the best return that any oppressed person can get in return. And Allah finishes off saying, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Remember, O Yusuf and O Yaqub alayhi salam, and remember, O human being who's reading this ayah, O fawqa kulli zi ilmin alim. Above every knowledgeable person is alim, meaning al-alimu Allah, the most knowledgeable. Meaning you may know some things, you may know some things about your enemy, you may know some things about your people who hurt you, you may know some things about their background. You might think, because when people try to seek revenge, what do? They say, let me see what is their weakness. That's what they try to do. They say, let me exploit their weakness. Let me get back at them. Let me be even Steven. Let me be squared off with them by finding out what is it. Allah is saying, don't go in that old dimension. Just leave it on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's it. We start at verse 76 today. Inshallah, next Thursday we'll start out from here. From verse 77, we see how the brothers of Yusuf Islam are now forced to leave Benjamin. They leave him, and then they go on. But now they are literally dreading, because they took an oath with their father. And now when they go empty-handed, what are they going to do? So that part of the story culminates and towards the end of the surah, and hopefully maybe by next Thursday. I'm sorry if it's taking long, but I can't help it. If I just rush through, there are a lot of wisdom left out. There's a lot of things left out. And that's not the desire for us. We're not doing Surah Yusuf as a fun story, as a fiction, then let's just read it, get through, go. No, we're doing it to seek daily life solutions. We face a lot of problems, just like Yusuf al-Islam. We face everything that he faced, so we need to know how he tackled it, and so that we can tackle it in the same way. Wa akhra da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah.